Every time we killed 1,000 bugs at a cost of 1 MI, it was a net victory for the bugs. We were learning, expensively, just how efficient a total communism can be when used by a people actually adapted to it by evolution. The bug commissars didn't care any more about expending soldiers than we cared about expending ammo. Perhaps we could have figured this out about the bugs by noting the grief the Chinese hegemony gave the Russo-Anglo-American alliance. However, the trouble with lessons from history is that we usually read them best after falling flat on our chins. But we were learning. Technical instructions and tactical doctrine orders resulted from every brush with them, spread through the fleet. We learned to tell the workers from the warriors. If you had time, you could tell from the shape of the carapace. But the quick rule of thumb was, if he comes at you, he's a warrior. If he runs, you can turn your back on him. We learned not to waste ammo even on warriors, except in self-protection. Instead, we went after their lairs. Find a hole, drop down it first a gas bomb which explodes gently a few seconds later, releasing an oily liquid which evaporates as a nerve gas tailored to bugs. It is harmless to us, and which is heavier than air and keeps on going down. Then you use a second grenade of HE to seal the hole. We still didn't know whether we were getting deep enough to kill the queens, but we did know that the bugs didn't like these tactics. Our intelligence through the skinnies and on back into the bugs themselves was definite on this point. Besides, we cleaned their colony off Sheol completely this way. Maybe they managed to evacuate the queens and the brains, but at least we were learning to hurt them. But so far as the roughnecks were concerned, these gas bombings were simply another drill, to be done according to orders, by the numbers, and on the bounce. Eventually, we had to go back to Sanctuary for more capsules. Capsules are expendable. Well, so are we. And when they're gone, you must return to base, even if the Cherenkov generators could still take you twice around the galaxy. Shortly before this, a dispatch came through, breveting Jelly to Lieutenant, Vice Razik. Jelly tried to keep it quiet, but Captain Deladryer published it and then required him to eat forward with the other officers. He still spent all the rest of his time aft. But we had taken several drops by then with him as platoon leader, and the outfit had gotten used to getting along without the lieutenant. It still hurt, but it was routine now. After Jalal was commissioned, the word was slowly passed around among us and chewed over that it was time for us to name ourselves for our boss, as with other outfits. Johnson was senior and took the word to Jelly. He picked me to go along with him as moral support.
Yeah, growled Jelly.
Sarge, I mean Lieutenant, we've been thinking.
With what?
Well, the boys have sort of been talking it over, and they think, well, they say the outfit ought to call itself Jelly's Jaguars.
They do, eh? How many of them favor that name?
Oh, it's unanimous, Johnson said simply.
So? 52 ayes and 1 no. The noes have it.
Nobody ever brought up the subject again.